Hey, we're back here on Downtown on a Monday afternoon, 4:30. And time for us to check in with our friend Travis Lazarchik of the Portland Press Herald. Travis, how are you this afternoon?
Good, Rich. I appreciate the bumper music.
I thought you'd like that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I try to come through there for you. Definitely. Definitely. How have you been since last we talked with you?
Busy, I'm sure. You know, the seasons never end, one into another. But it's fun, right?
Absolutely. Well, we'll talk a little Maine sports in a bit. But, well, you had such a wonderful piece over the weekend about Red Sox broadcaster Joe Castiglione. And that brought back so many memories. And I think so many of us, regardless of age, have those same feelings for Joe.
Yeah, I mean, he's the Red Sox radio voice I grew up with. He started in 1983. And that spring, I was 10 years old. At that age where you're just starting to really follow a team closely. And I remember, you know, numerous, you know, car rides listening to Joe and whoever his partner happened to be at the time, or, you know, falling asleep to a West Coast game, or just listening out by a fire, or listening by the pool, by the lake, on the deck. Just, you know, his voice is the constant over those four decades. And it was great that he got to call four World Series wins in the last 20 years to kind of cap a remarkable career.
And I wonder, too, if younger fans have that same approach. And certainly with baseball, I mean, I'll hang in there with football teams, even when they're not going great either. But baseball especially, even when the Red Sox had not great years, that radio was always on as sort of the background of summer. And I don't know if that happens with younger fans.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, because I don't know how many younger fans even have a radio. Maybe they can listen on their phone.
Right.
Or something, you know. But, I mean, it was, you know, the clock radio in my bedroom, or the Walkman when I'm mowing the lawn. It was always something, a boombox by the pool. It was always something where you could find, no matter where you were in New England, all right, where am I now? Where, you know, fiddling with the dial to find that station that carried the Red Sox. And You could hear a snippet of Joe's voice, and you knew, okay, I've got it locked in, and you'd stick with it until it faded out, and then you'd, you know, fiddle with the dial again until you found him again.
And, you know, you think about it, in the last, what, 8-9 months, we've lost some of the biggest names in New England sports broadcasting who decided to get done with Mike Gorman and Jack Edwards, too.
Yeah, it just shows those guys were around for a while. Mike Gorman was close to 42 years, if not as many. I can't remember when he started on Celtics games, but it's a fact of life that these voices come and go. And, you know, when you get one that's so distinct and recognizable and so good, because you don't do something for this long without being really good at it, right? You don't last. Joe became, you know, the landscape, really, as did Mike and Jack to a degree.
Travis Lazarchik with us here on Downtown. Well, Maine football, nice win for them on the road this weekend. A little scary there in the first half when they fell behind 10-0 and then 15-6. But I think we finally saw in the second half the kind of defensive team that Jordan Stevens would like them to be.
Oh, definitely. After giving up, what, 1,100 yards, give or take, for the last two games at Montana State and against Monmouth, it was nice to see them finally come through and just get stops. I mean, 11 for 15 Monmouth was on third down. You're not going to beat, you know, Orono High School if you're doing that. If you got to get off the field. And the fact that they only gave up 6 points on the defensive end, you know, Merrimack's touchdown came on a goofy turnover, and then the safety. That was encouraging to come back from, you know, just getting torched in the air by Monmouth and on the ground by Montana State. So the schedule doesn't get easier for them, Rich. You know that. When I saw the schedule in August, I was thinking, okay, if they can go 3-1 or 2-2 in this first month, they have a chance to maybe start, you know, building in the right direction. Well, they're 2-2, but now you have Albany, who's nationally ranked, and then going to Delaware, who's never easy to beat, especially there. Villanova coming to Orono's nationally ranked, Rhode Island's nationally ranked, and then, of course, after all that, the University of Oklahoma. So the next 5 games are going to be as tough a stretch as I can remember them playing.
And I kind of thought, like you did, that they had a chance to go 3-1. I thought the Monmouth game going in would be a winnable game. Now, maybe Monmouth's a little better than we thought, because they went down and beat FBS Florida International over the weekend.
Yeah.
But either way, I think all it means is now you got to go beat somebody that, you know, maybe it looks like a tougher game. And I'm not sure Albany isn't one of those teams. They're off to a bit of a slow start. They don't have their big guy from last year, Reese Poffenbarger, the outstanding quarterback who was such a key to their success. They're still a good team, but But I think there's one possibly there for the taking if the defense can play like they played this past weekend.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, Albany certainly played a tough schedule, too. I think they played Idaho, if I remember correctly.
Right, right.
They were one of the top five or six teams in FCS now, too, kind of like along the lines of Montana State, both in that really brutal Big Sky Conference. And I think they had another FBS opponent.
Yeah, they played West Virginia, right? Yeah.
West Virginia, yeah. So they're 1-2 in a challenging schedule too. They have had a bye week, so they're probably going to be as healthy as you can expect to be, a month into the season to be hosting Maine. But yeah, I think that's one that they could get. You know, maybe Rhode Island in a couple weeks is one they could get too. Just going to Delaware worries me, and then playing Villanova at home is another just really strong opponent.
Yeah, no question about that. Well, it won't be long before Maine hockey gets going. And boy, expectations for this Black Bear hockey team are, I think, as high as they've been in, I don't know, 15, 20 years maybe?
At least, Rich. This is the first time in about 20 years they've had a wait list for season tickets, I think. I saw the first USCHO poll came out this afternoon, has them ranked number 12 in the country. I think that's about right, considering where they finished last year and what they lost. Bradley Nadeau is not going to be a guy you just replace with one guy. They're going to need, a few other players to step up and increase their offensive output. Now, they have some of those guys on the roster I think can do that. Harrison Scott, Thomas Freeld, the name, just a couple. But, yeah, expectations are high, and I think they should be. I think this is a good team Ben Byers put together there.
And is defense going in the strength of this Black Bear team?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think they really lost anybody, and they've added a couple pieces there. Alvin Boya back in net, he looked strong over the second half of last season when he kind of took over that job. Just some tinkering to do, putting together four solid lines. But the point's going to be, I think they are going to have four solid lines where you're not going to rely on one or two to do all the scoring. So tough schedule. They've got the last two national champions coming to Orono and Quinnipiac in a few weeks, and then Denver in January. So, but those are the kind of games you want to play and get tested before you make a run at the Hockey East title and hopefully another NCAA tournament bid.
Yeah, most definitely. How's high school football so far? How's the quality of play early in the season?
I'm just glad that I've been to a few close games. It seems like so many times at this time of year you get to the running time. I was fortunate enough to cover a really good Coney-Falmouth game last Friday night in the Pine Tree Conference Class B. Falmouth won 21-7, but it was close right up through. That Falmouth team might be the surprise in Class B North this year, coming off a year where they struggled and had to have a coaching change, but they're playing hard. They have three lacrosse All-Americans on the defensive side of the ball. So you know they're athletic, and they certainly showed that against a good Coney team that had been scoring a ton of points to hold them to just 7.
Well, Bangor, after getting beaten pretty thoroughly by Thornton a couple of weeks ago, had a win and then a tough loss, a last-second field goal to lose by 3 to Lewiston.
Yeah, and that Lewiston team, had a win over Bonnie Eagle in week one. So
right.
Class A, is, there's TA and there might be everybody else, but there's certainly a battle for the rest of those, those spots as they kind of get near the midway point of the season.
All right,
and
what's Evan on?
Little got their first win in a couple of years by beating a good Messalovsky team.
So. Right, right. What's on your agenda for this week? What will you be covering?
I will be working on a couple features here. I've got a good girls soccer game tomorrow night, actually, in Class A South, Wyndham at Gorham. It's a replay of a playoff game that went to penalty kicks last year, and two of the contenders every year in Class A South, it seems, to be announced for Friday Night Football. I haven't figured that out, but I'll be somewhere.
Excellent, excellent. Now, did you get down to the Pearl Jam shows at all?
Oh, of course. I was there for both.
Nice,
Sunday
nice.
And Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah, I heard.
Can't miss them when they come to Fenway, Rich.
Heard they were absolutely fantastic. We're actually talking to a couple of guys in the booth at Merrimack who had been down, and we're talking about it.
Yeah, both phenomenal shows. I was able to bring my brother to his first Pearl Jam show on Sunday night, so it was great to share that with him. Just fantastic sets each night.
That's awesome. Well, glad you got to enjoy that. Well, always a pleasure to talk with you. Appreciate you making time for us this afternoon, and we'll catch you as the season rolls on.
All right, Rich. Take care.
Thank you, Travis. Travis Lazarchik, Portland Press Herald, joining us here on a Monday afternoon downtown program.